I want to ask you, please, again tonight to remember me in your prayers as I stand before you. I have some scripture that I would like to read from the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. So if you would like to read with me, please turn to Acts chapter 20. And I want to begin reading with verse 17. And I want to call your attention tonight to some things that Paul tells us here in this chapter, things that he faced, things that he went through in trying to serve the Lord. So Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17, says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And the thought that I want to bring before you tonight, I want to use the title, "The Difficulties of Christianity." And I want you to think on that with me for a little while this evening. There are many things in the world that are going on that are troublesome. There are many things here in our country. There are many things in the realm of religion here in our country that are very troublesome to me. And one of those things is that there is a very false type of Christianity that's being portrayed today among many religions here in our country. And what I find in the scriptures, and I wanted to read these verses tonight, there's also a verse in the 14th chapter of this same book, Acts chapter 14, verse 22. This was talking about the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys. And it says in the verse prior to that that they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we have things relatively easy, it seems, in our life today. I think in a lot of ways we have actually really spoiled ourselves. But through technology, and man is always advancing in things. Man is always looking for something new, always trying to make things better. And sometimes trying to fix things that really aren't even broken in the first place. But if you notice in just the way that we live in our everyday lives, that the things that are done through man's knowledge and in trying to advance and in trying to improve upon things, everything seems to be geared towards making it easier. I mean, there's a lot more things that are convenient in the automobiles that we drive today compared to what they were not that many years ago. There's probably very few people that get up off of the couch now to change channels on the television. I mean, you used to. I remember when I was a kid, if you wanted to change the channel on the television, you had to get up out of your chair and walk across the room and use a little bit of energy and change the channel. And now people have made it to where they've got all, you know, everybody's got remote controls, and you can sit in the recliner and eat popcorn and just, you know, surf the channels. And I mean, everything is made and geared towards making things easier. And sometimes that's not necessarily good for us, but that's the way it is. But you see, the same thing exists in religion. It exists in religion. And we are aware tonight, I don't want to get away from the subject, but I wanted to give Brother Wheat a compliment this morning after he taught the Sunday school lesson. I intended to do that and I didn't, so I'll say it now. I want him to know that one of the things that I appreciate about the way that he teaches the Sunday school class is that he has no fear of repeating himself. I think that's a valuable tool. I remember reading one time a man that I considered to be a very intelligent man in the scriptures. He wrote this down, and he said that he felt like that one of the very best teaching tools that existed was repetition, because we don't get it the first time. Sometimes we don't get it the second time. And there are things that I have heard here the last year and a half. There are things that I have heard Brother Wheat say in Sunday school, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not making fun in any way. I really do appreciate the fact that he's not afraid to repeat things, because there are things that he has said that I have listened to here over the last year and a half that have lodged in my mind, and they're there. And I appreciate that. And what we are going to look at here tonight, I don't believe will be anything new to anybody. And when I tell you about these things, I believe you are as aware of them as I am, that these things do exist. But there has been a big push among religion to make things easy, to make things easier. And it started in that type of Christianity, and it escalates all the way up through the type of service that they try to give. But with that type of what I call a false type of Christianity, it starts with their methods of conversion. You know, the first thing was, people begin to say all of this weeping and wailing and mourning and crying and sobbing and all of this about people coming to an altar and spending, perhaps hours trying to find the Lord and trying to be saved. People begin to call it nonsense. And they begin to say it's not necessary. Those things are not necessary to be done. And, you know, the sad part of it is that there were people that knew the truth that bought into that. That's the worst part about it. There were churches. And I'm going to tell you, friends, this breaks my heart. There were churches that knew better. There were sound churches, sound Baptist churches that knew the truth. They knew what it meant to be born again. They knew what it meant to have true heartfelt salvation,
And yet when those things began to be pushed, there were people that bought into that. And what a tragedy that really is. We need to be aware of these things, and not only aware of them, we need to be reminded of them, because I'll tell you what, these people, whether you may realize it or not, these people that are promoting that easy believism type of salvation, they're looking for all sorts of converts every day. They're looking for you and me to join right up with them. They would like for us to just, throw aside what we believe and everybody just come together. Friends, I'll tell you, a great big interdenominational fellowship. Boy, I'll tell you what, a lot of people have been so duped by that. I mean, they look at it as being such a great blessing. Why, look at this large number of people that we've gathered together. But I'll tell you what, friends, when, the Bible in the book of Amos asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And I'll tell you what, truth and error just don't lock up with each other, do they? There's just not fellowship there. And in order for those people to, those that have, in order for them to get hooked up with that and join up with that, they had to forsake the truth in order to do it. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, this big interdenominational fellowship that people think is such a blessing to me is a great danger. Amen. And a great tragedy. Yeah. I remember when I pastored at Illinois, somehow they got my address and they wrote me a long letter about that. What do you think about this and what do you think about that? And all of these interdenominational groups, what do you think about that? And I wrote back, and that's what I told him. I said, I believe it's a great danger for people to be involved in that type of thing. We need to uphold the truth. I don't believe it's what they say, when they tell people it's so easy. Why would you do that? Why would you put yourself through that? Why would you weep and mourn and wail and spend hours on your knees, trying to get saved and not be saved? Why would you put yourself through those things? It's so easy. All you've got to do is accept. All you've got to do is accept the Lord. It's so easy to do. But you know what? The problem is when you do it, you don't have anything, do you? You don't have anything that's real. What you've got is false, and what you've got's not going to hold up when you stand before the Lord. It may be easier for them to get through that, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather struggle before the Lord and get what's right and get what's true than to have something easy. I don't believe that true Christianity is an easy thing. I'm afraid sometimes today we look at it in the wrong light ourselves. I think probably the reason that there have been many people that have been saved and joined the church, and before you know it, they're just gone and they're not doing anything for the Lord, is perhaps because they didn't get very far into their service for God and found out that there were some difficulties involved. I don't know where we ever got this idea that we could serve without sacrifice. The Bible tells me that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. And don't you know that that's hard for you and I to do? That doesn't come easy, does it? I don't know where people got the idea of all this natural health, wealth, and prosperity in being Christians. It's not what I read about in the scriptures. Paul here told us that in serving the Lord, that he had humility of mind, he had many tears, he had temptations, which befell him by lying in wait of the Jews. He knew that in every city the Holy Ghost witnessed to him, in every city that bonds and afflictions would abide him. He knew that it was going to be difficult for him to do the things that God had for him to do. Now, I don't understand, and I suppose what puzzles me is how that this type of Christianity can be depicted, how that people can so easily believe that Christianity, that really truly being a Christian is such an easy thing, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the very founder of it, got nailed to a cross. He, the years that he lived on this earth, which were not very many, he suffered. I mean, he had a life filled with suffering, and then he was nailed to a cross and died for our sins. Paul said that through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. You know, it's not easy to be saved the way that people say that it is. I don't believe it's difficult for the Lord to save people. I believe he can do it. He's got great capability. But you know what? The problem is that we don't have receptive spirits. We've got rebellious spirits, don't we? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid the iniquity of us on him, of us all on him. And when God comes knocking and convicts us of our sin, it seems like that many people have a tendency to rebel. Many people have a tendency to run the other way than to try to run to the Lord, to draw nigh to the Lord. Many try to run the other way, and God works on us, and he works on us. And the Bible tells me that we can't even come unless he draws us. We've got to have, you know, it takes God to produce in us a radical change of attitude for us to come to the Lord. Because we won't come to him in our natural state. The Bible doesn't say that in their natural state that men love the Lord. It says they love darkness. Men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. And in our natural state, in that wicked state that that God finds us in, we won't come to him that way. God has got to deal with us. God has got to woo us and draw us by his Holy Spirit. And thank God that he does, that he will draw us to him. You know what I say? I say we let him weep on the altars. I say we let them mourn, we let them wail until God tells them they're all right. Amen. And I say we uphold that, regardless of what people think. I say we uphold that. Amen. Because I like to hear people stand up and say they know they got it, don't you? Yeah. I'm glad that when I got saved, I knew I had it. I'm thankful that I listened to the Lord and the Lord told me when he saved me. Lord witnessed that in my soul. The Lord was crucified. I mean, he was mistreated when he was here in this world more than anybody ever has been. He suffered more than anybody else has ever suffered. While he was here on the earth during his ministry, he established his church. His church began to go forth and take the gospel out, and they begin to be persecuted. They begin to be mistreated. I'm telling you, the blood of the saints flowed down through the ages of time. It flowed there when they were nailed to the stake, when they were burned, when they were cut, when they had their heads chopped off. I mean, all kinds of wicked things happened to them, and the church truly has left a trail of blood behind her. There's been persecution. It lasted all the way up until the gospel got into America. the people of God were still being persecuted. It wasn't quite as at such a bad level as it was earlier, perhaps through the Dark Ages. But I know when the in the 1700s, even not that long ago, really compared to how much time has passed, in the 1700s in America, in Virginia, there were still Baptist preachers that were being imprisoned. They were being beaten. None of them lost their lives, according to history, there in Virginia, but they were still being beaten here in America for preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Persecution followed the church, and I say it still will today. It may not be in the same form. Thank God for the freedoms that we have, and we may or we may not have to suffer the things that our forefathers did. We don't have a guarantee that that physical persecution won't happen again. We may not, or we may have to suffer those things, but either way, if we truly give ourselves over to the Lord, there's going to be sacrifices that are going to have to be made. It's going to cost us to serve the Lord, isn't it? It's going to cost us. And why shouldn't it? Why should we get off free? Think about the price that the head of the church paid. Think about the price that the Lord paid for us to have what we have today. So why shouldn't we have troubles? Why shouldn't we have tribulations along the way? Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And I don't see where he put a time limit on that or narrowed that down to any certain period of time. It was a blanket statement. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if you live for the Lord one way or another, it'll come. One way or another, we will suffer persecution. Jesus, he gave us some very difficult instruction, didn't he? I mean hard. Not easy, not easy to live up to the things that Jesus told us to live up to. It's not easy to do the things that Jesus told us to do. He said, "If any man will be my disciple, he must deny himself." In the book of Luke, it was recorded that he must take up his cross daily and follow me. And you know as well as I do, that with this Adamic nature that we still have, boy, it is really hard to deny yourself, isn't it? I mean, there's some great difficulty in that for you and I to deny ourselves, because I'll tell you what, I believe that all of us have a certain amount of selfishness about us. I mean, there are some things about us that we have to overcome. And if it were so easy in this world to live the Christian life, then why are we taught in so many places in the scriptures that we have got to rely so heavily upon help from heaven to be able to do it? And we do, don't we? I'm not able to do it by myself. I'm not sufficient for it. I find myself on my knees praying to God to just help me. Just keep me where, you know, Lord, that's probably one of my most common prayers. Lord, just keep me where you need me to be. Because I know that in all of us, if we listen to our own selves, if we operate on our own thoughts and on our own mind, we've all got such a tendency to stray away from the Lord. When I study about the apostles, it seems to me that they had a difficult time learning how to be the Lord's servants. And so do we. It's hard for us to deny ourselves. It's hard for us to crucify the flesh, but Jesus told us that in order to do it, we've got to do it. We have got to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, make no mistake about it. If you really want to be a disciple, if you want to be a true disciple, you have to have your love for the Lord has to be stronger than your love for anybody or anything else. That was the requirement. Jesus said, you've got to love me more than father and mother. You've got to love me more than sister and brother. You've got to love me more than sons and daughters. You've got to love me more than houses or land in order to be my disciples. And that's hard, isn't it? Because it's not easy for you and I to deny ourselves. It's not. We have to struggle with that. I've often thought also, if this were so easy, you know, if it's like so many are saying, that it's just so easy to be a Christian. Friends, I'm telling you that they have drawn people into that. Many people, they have drawn into that. Look, we've got an easier way. I've already told you we live in a world today where everybody seems to be thinking about making things easier, and there have been many people, perhaps, no doubt, many of them not intending to, but look, we've got an easier way. Boy, I'll tell you, the devil's really deceptive. That's another, perhaps one of the greatest reasons that it's difficult. There's difficulty involved in walking the path that the Lord would have us to walk, because we got such a great adversary and he doesn't want us to do it. And he will use every trick in the book to get us to stray from the right path. He'll come at us with everything he's got. We have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is trying, he hates people that will really truly serve the Lord. Got a hatred for us. And if it were so easy, if it were such an easy task, if Christianity were so easy, then why the need of the armor? Why did Paul have to write to the church at Ephesus and say, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Friends, we need to never forget that we are in a spiritual battle. We've got a war going on. There's a war right here among us. There is great terrorism right here among us. There's great terror within. We can't see it with our natural eye. Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that spiritual power is very strong. In fact, it's too strong for you and I. We can't stand against it by ourselves. We've got to have the armor. We've got to strap on the armor of God in order to be able to stand. Well, I know that seems like a really grim picture. So why try? Why do it? Why serve the Lord? Why be a Christian? Well, I'll tell you why for me. I love the Lord. I love him because he first loved me. I love the Lord for what he did for me. I love to be with his people. I told you that this morning. I love to be assembled with his people. I love to be in the presence of the saints of God. I love to feel, I'll tell you what, when we were gathered here this morning and the Spirit of God began to move among us, boy, there's no place on earth I wanted to be other than here. I was so glad to be here. I didn't have any, my mind was not distracted at all. I didn't have any thoughts about going anyplace else, being anyplace else. I believe all that we face, all the hardships that we face, the blessings of God will outweigh them. they will outweigh them all. Paul looked ahead to finishing his course. He said, I've got great humility of mind. I'm shedding many tears. You know, there's things that just are right ahead of me that are waiting for me. There's great bonds and afflictions just ahead of me that are abiding me. But he said, I want to finish my course with joy. I believe Paul had joy in the Lord despite what he was going through. There was something that drove him on. And I believe that's the way it's been for the people of God through the years. I'll tell you what, listen, when those old ancestors of ours were giving their lives, when they were willing to be burned, when they were willing to have their bodies mutilated, when they were willing to die, there was something driving them on that was greater than what they were feeling in the flesh. There was a force there that was motivating them. The Spirit of God was blessing them and driving them and giving them joy. And His blessings, I believe, will far outweigh the trials that we face here in this life. I thank God for the blessings that He gives us along the way. We ought to be willing to give ourselves to the Lord. I mean, to really surrender our lives to the Lord. We ought to be willing to do that because of what He did for us. He didn't owe us anything, did He? The Lord did not owe... Somebody mentioned that this morning, perhaps Brother Weed, I don't know. Somebody mentioned that this morning in Sunday school, that the Lord was not under obligation to us. The Lord did not come and die on the cross because He owed it to us, did He? He came and He gave His life freely so that we could have what we have today. But we owe Him. We owe Him everything. We owe Him our very lives. And we ought to be willing to give our lives over to the Lord and serve Him with everything that we have because of what He has done for us. I'll tell you what, I don't believe the Lord promised us, at least I don't see it in His Word. I don't believe the Lord promised us if we'd serve Him like people are being told today. I don't see it taught in His Word that He promised us if we would do that, that we'd be millionaires. I don't see anywhere in His Word that He promised us that we would be filthy rich if we would give our lives to the Lord. I don't see it. He said we would have tribulation, and we will. We'll face persecution. There'll be hardships that we'll face just like His servants have always faced, in order to live for Him and to serve Him. But thank God that His grace is sufficient. Thank God that His blessings outweigh all the trials. Thank God that He has a great retirement plan. I mean, the benefits of salvation are out of this world, aren't they? They're out of this world. Go home one day and rest and I'll tell you what, I promise you today by the authority of God's Word that when we step into heaven, we won't take any troubles in with us. We'll leave every trial, every hardship, everything that we may face outside the gates of that beautiful place that God has prepared for us, and we'll never know them again. But we ought to be willing to suffer with the Lord, shouldn't we? Bible says if we suffer with Him, we'll also be glorified with Him. We'll also be... God will reward us. I mean, salvation's enough, isn't it? You know, if you've been saved, salvation is blessing enough to give your life to the Lord. If you never received another blessing from Him in any way, being saved would be blessing enough. and would be worth giving your life over to him for the rest of your days because of what he's already done. But God goes on and he just continues to bless us and be with us. And the Bible makes it plain, he'll reward us. I mean, if you live for the Lord, he will reward you for what you do in his service. God's a great paymaster. There's none like him. But we're going to face some things. We're going to have some difficulties along the way. It's not always going to be easy to serve the Lord. I don't really see where he ever promised that it would be. But thank God for the joy that is ahead. Those are the thoughts that I had to share with you tonight. I really hope and pray it's been a help to somebody in some way. I don't regret anything that I've ever tried to do for the Lord. Amen. Nothing. I regret how little I've done for him. I can look back through my life and see ways that I failed him and regret that, but I don't regret anything that I've ever tried to do for him. I believe he's well worthy of all of it. And what a joy that it is. I remember reading about one time in the fifth chapter of Acts, you can read about the apostles. They were taken and beaten, and they went away happy. They went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame in the name of the Lord. It was a great blessing to them, and that's the way that we ought to look at it. If we really, truly suffer as a Christian. Now, Peter said for us not to suffer as evildoers, but if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God in that. And if we really, truly suffer in his service, we ought to count it a great joy to even be counted worthy to suffer for his name. Brother Strode, let's stand and have a song. I hope.